All right, this is the morning service for April the 5th, 2020. Take your Bibles, if you would, and open them up to Luke chapter 17, and we're going to read verses 28 through 30 for our scripture reading. Luke chapter 17, verses 28 through 30. So I'll read this, and then I'll pray. Here's what the Bible says. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we're able to spend in your word. I pray that as it's preached, that Holy Spirit, you will speak to our hearts and our minds, that you will do a work in us, that we, those that hear this, that don't know Christ, would understand that judgment one day is coming, and they don't know how much time they have. And so they need to respond to the gospel and ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then, Father, I pray you would remind us as Christians that our time to witness to other people, to give them the alarm that judgment is coming, is short. And I pray that we'll be bold and we'll be faithful as we witness for you. So bless this service, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. In the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 14, the Bible says, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." The story that's in Genesis chapter 19 is a terrible story. It's a story of sin, story of destruction and death, story of wasted opportunity, story of a ruined testimony. The story is about a man named Lot, who the Bible describes in several different places as a righteous man. He was Abraham's nephew, and he was blessed by God. Now, I've said in the past that he was blessed by God because God blessed his uncle Abraham, and God's blessings to Abraham just overflowed on Lot. And it ought to be a reminder to us that we ought to watch who we hang around with. We ought to hang around with people that are being blessed by God, so their overflow blessings will fall on us, as opposed to people that are being punished by God, because we don't want the punishment to spill out on us. But that's a different sermon. But Lot was blessed by God. Now, he made some wrong choices. He made some bad decisions. He moved to a place that God didn't want him to be, the city of Sodom. It was a wicked place. It was known for the sin of homosexuality. In fact, the name of the city, Sodom, has become the name of that sin, sodomy. And again, I would just remind you, homosexuality is not a choice. That's what the world tries to tell us. That's what the culture tries to tell us. Homosexuality is a sin. It's an abomination in God's sight. And the Bible says that in the very first book in chapter 19, that God says it's a sin. Now, I'm sure the people in Sodom thought just like people do today. Hey, it's my life. It's my choice. I can live any way I want. And that's true. People can, but they're going to pay a price. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So Lot moved to a place that God didn't want him to live, and he associated with people that God didn't want him to associate with. He got into the city. Most Bible scholars think that he married a woman from Sodom, and he became involved in the government of that city, because we find him, when the angels come, which we're going to talk about in a minute, he was sitting in the gate where the rulers of the city set. Some say, well, Lot didn't have a choice. He had to separate from Abraham. So, you know, he had a choice to make. Was he going to choose the wilderness, or was he going to choose the well-watered plains of Sodom, as the Bible describes it? Yeah, he had a choice to make, but he didn't have to choose Sodom. It would have been better to live in their wilderness than in Sodom. It would be better to do without than to live in that wicked city. Too many times, even today, people make a choice of where they're going to live based on their job and based on the money they're going to make in that job. It would be better off to decide where you're going to live based on what, where God wants you. God has a will for us. He has a place where he wants us to live. And we'd be far better off if we sought his will about where he wants us to reside, as opposed to making a choice based on money or some other thing. So Lot moved to Sodom. He associated with people that God didn't want him to associate with. One evening, Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Again, that's where the ruler sat, a place where the leader sat, and two angels came. Now, Lot was respectful as he welcomed them. He invited them to spend the night in his home. At first, the two angels said no, but Lot insisted, and so they accepted, and they went home with Lot. Lot made them dinner. In fact, he made them a feast, and they ate. And before they retired for the night, the Bible says that the men of the city surrounded Lot's house. The Bible says there were old men and young men from every quarter. And these men cried out, "Bring out those men. We want to know them. We want to commit the sin of sodomy with them." And again, let me just pause for a minute. Notice the Bible says the old men and the young men. There were fathers and sons in that crowd. The sins of the fathers passed to the sons. And fathers, we need to be careful of the example that we're setting for our sons, because they're going to end up, in most cases, just like us. And so we need to make sure we're setting a good example. So when the men called out, said, "Bring these men out that we can know them," Lot said, "No, they're my guests. They're under the protection of my roof. I can't yet let you do that." And he said, "Here's my two daughters. They haven't known men. Do what you want to them." And again, I can't imagine any father doing that to his daughters, but Lot did. That enraged the men of the city. They said, "Lot, you're not our judge. We're going to deal worse with you than we were going to do to these two men." And so they came after Lot. Well, in Genesis chapter 19, the Bible says the angels pulled Lot back into the house, and they smote all the men that were around the house with blindness. And they said to Lot, "God sent us to destroy this city. You need to get out. Go warn your family, your sons, your daughters, your sons-in-laws. Whatsoever you have in the city, bring them out of this place, because God's going to destroy it because of their sin." Now, by this time it was late at night, maybe even early into the morning. So that's why I've entitled this sermon, The Midnight Alarm. Here was Lot, a father, going out around midnight. And again, I think he's sneaking through the streets because these men are still after him. And he knocks on the doors of his sons-in-laws. So there's at least two, okay? Because again, the Bible doesn't tell us how many, but that the sons-in-law are plural. So there's at least two. He knocks on the door, and one of his son-in-laws comes to the door. He says, and Lot says, "Hurry, we need to leave. This God is going to destroy this city. We've got to leave now." And the Bible said that his sons-in-law laughed at him. They mocked him. They said, "You're joking. God's not going to destroy this city. You're crazy. And we're not going to listen to you, and we're not going to get up, and we're not going to go." So in the morning, Lot, his wife, his two unmarried daughters, the Bible says they lingered. Even though the angels had told them destruction was coming, they lingered, so much so that the angel had to pull them out of the city. He had to pull them out. The angels had to pull them out of the city. And God sent fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed the city of Sodom and the city of Gomorrah, all the inhabitants of the city and all that grew up on the ground. Every crop was destroyed. And as we read from the book of Luke, as it was in the days of Lot, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In Jude, verse 7, the Bible says this, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So again, I speak on the subject, the midnight alarm. I encourage you not to miss it. I encourage you not to ignore it. The days of Lot are upon us. Sin is rampant. Sin is rampant in our day, just like it was in the days of Lot. Homosexuals, it's almost accepted. It is accepted in our society. In fact, you can be persecuted because if you preach a sermon like this and say homosexuality is an abomination, they accuse you of hate crimes. And again, we don't hate anybody. We don't hate any person. We hate the sin, and we need to call out the sin as an abomination, but we love the sinner. And so sin is running rampant today, just like it was in the days of Lot. And God sends us warnings, just like he sent two angels to warn Lot. God is warning us. And so I have 3 points I'd like to make in this message. Number one, the earth faces judgment of fire just like Sodom did. In Isaiah 34, verse 4, the Bible says, all the host of heaven shall be dissolved. In Matthew chapter 24, the heavens and the earth shall pass away. 1 Peter 4, 7, the end of all things is at hand. 2 Peter 3, 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I know what fire can do. It's been a while now, but we had a house that burned completely to the ground as a result of a fire. Fire destroys. Luckily, nobody was hurt in the fire that we had, but fire can kill. And being burned to death is a painful way to die. Not only will heaven and earth be destroyed, but those that die in their sins, either in this the time of the last days or before, even those that die now in their sins that don't know Jesus Christ, face an eternity of judgment of fire. One of the things that makes hell a terrible place, it's a place where the fire dieth not. It's a lake of fire, a lake of brimstone. In the Gospel of Luke, we read the story of the rich man and Lazarus. On this earth, the rich man enjoyed the finities of life. The Lazarus was a beggar that had to beg for his food. They both died. The rich man went to hell. Lazarus went to rest in the bosom of Abraham, as the Bible described it. And the rich man in hell looked across the gulf that divided him from Abraham and Lazarus and said, Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus? And would you let him just dip the tip of his finger in water and let him come and touch my tongue so that I can get some relief from this fire? And Abraham said, no, I can't do that. There's a great gulf that exists between us. You see, when a person goes to hell, there's no escape. When a person goes to hell, they enter into that lake of fire and brimstone where they will live forever in torment of that fire. There's no second chance. There's no way to get out once we enter that place. Those that die in their sins, those that die without Jesus Christ, face an eternity in the fires of hell. The wages of sin is death. And so the earth faces the judgment of fire, and those that without Christ face the judgment of fire. But number two, we've been sent a warning. God sent two angels to Lot. They said, judgment is coming. Fire and brimstone is coming. You need to leave. You need to leave now. You need to flee. You need to flee now. The warning that God sends to us comes in multiple ways. Jesus came to give us a warning. In fact, his death on Calvary was the greatest warning we have. God judges sin. Sin must be paid for. And again, God expressed his love for us, but the suffering that Jesus faced on Calvary, and again, the physical suffering, it was terrible from a human standpoint, but the greatest suffering that Jesus faced on Calvary was being separated from God. When he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was suffering what every sinner deserves. And so the fact that God sent his son to pay the terrible price for our sin should be the greatest warning that every sinner has that their sin will be punished, that God won't overlook it, that God won't that God won't forgive it, but that sin has to be punished. Jesus had no sin in himself when he went to the cross, but he took all of our sins. He took all of our infirmities. And God placed them on him, and God judged him guilty, and he perished. He suffered what we ought to suffer because of our sins. The song says, he left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and died for Adam's fallen race. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so his death on the cross, his life, his teaching, his preaching, his miracles, all of that is a warning that sin will be punished. Sin has to be paid for. And you better escape. You better take the way of escape. Jesus said, I'm the way of escape. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Don't run the risk of enduring the punishment of fire that's going to come because of sin. But it's not just Jesus. God's given us his word. And over in his word, he warns us that sin will be paid for, that hell is real. He gives us Sunday school lessons. He gives us sermons. He gives us parents. He gives us grandparents. He gives us aunts and uncles. He gives us friends, people that pray for us, people that that warn us that we're sinners, people that warn us that there's a penalty for sin, people that warn us that heaven is real and hell is real. And so God sends us warning after warning in various ways. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. The wages of sin is death, an eternity apart from God in that place of fire called hell. You better escape. You better take the way of escape. And what's the way of escape? Jesus says. Jesus is the way of escape. Let his death, his resurrection, pay for your sins. That's what he did. He paid the price for every one of our sins, but you need to receive it. It's a gift from God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And again, you have to take it. I had to take it. Everybody that knows Christ had to take it. It's not something that we can do for you. It's not something your parents can do for you. It's not something that anybody else can do for you. You have to do it yourself. Receive Christ. And then number three, the last point, as Lot was warned, he then went out and warned others. He went out and warned his son-in-laws. He carried the message of the angels to those that he loved. So must we as Christians sound the warning. Judgment is coming. Destruction is coming. Sin will be punished. The wages of sin is death. You must take the way of escape. You must flee. Jesus is the only way to escape the punishment of sin. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We need to sound that warning. We need to sound the warning to our family. We need to sound the warning to our neighbors. We need to sound the warning to our friends. We need to sound the warning in our workplace. We need to sound the warning in our school. You might say, well, if two angels came to me, if I saw two heavenly beings and they came to me and they told me that tomorrow the world would be destroyed by fire, I'd spend the rest of the day, I'd spend the rest of the night knocking on doors, warning others that destruction is coming. Look, we have something better than angels. We have the Son of God. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God Himself that says, it's coming. It's for sure. You need to escape now. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And Christian, we need to be busy warning everybody we know that God's going to punish sin, and that punishment is coming soon. And by the way, that's why we need to keep our testimony clean. That's why we need to live holy lives. That's why we need to be separated from this world. We can't live like Lot and expect our family or our friends or our acquaintances to heed our warning. We can't live like the world and can't live in the sin of the world and expect anybody to listen to us when we say, hey, the judgment of God is coming. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. That's why the Bible says, keep your testimony clean and pure. That's why the Bible says you're a peculiar people. You need to be different than the world. So that when we do go out, as all of us should, and sound this warning, judgment is coming, people will listen, and people will decide to take the way of escape that's offered in Jesus Christ. And again, if you're hearing this and you've never received Christ as your Savior, let me implore you. We don't know when the judgment of God is coming. I think it's getting close. I can't set the date. No one knows. But I think we're living in the last times. And I think the day when the Son of God shall be revealed, like we read about in the book of Luke, is coming. And we need to make sure that everybody we know and everybody that we love is ready for that day to come. And so, again, if you're listening to this and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, why don't you ask Him today? Just admit your sin and call out to Him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Please save me. Let's pray together. Father, again, thank you for this time we've spent in your Word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to those that don't know Christ. I pray that you would impress upon them the urgency of making that decision to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Help them to do it today. Help them just to bow their heads right where they are and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus, please save me from my sin. And then, Father, I pray for the Christians that have heard this. I pray, again, we would recognize the urgency that we need to have in warning those around us that they need to be saved, that the judgment of God is coming. There's no way to escape it other than getting in Jesus Christ. Help us to do that. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.